brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that wonderful name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He indeed is Lord, Lord of all, Lord over all, Lord. And that means that He has control. That means that He is above it. That means that what He says goes. You know, I know, one reason why we've started off so many of these audios saying that exact sentence is because you need to know this going into the days and the times that we now live in. You know, we live in a day and a time where people are going to be questioning, you know, whether God is in control of all that's going on. Now look, we already established that, you know, even 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking on the earth, that He let people know the day and the hour that they would be living in. That He let them know what would be coming in times ahead so that they could prepare themselves. You know, so that they would not lose heart. You know, He even just said, look, you know, when you see these things coming on the earth, take heart. Your redemption draws nigh. I mean, we have to understand that in the day and the age that we live in right now, that there is a lot of things that are going to be happening, swirling, taking place, and man, in his own best efforts, can't fix anything. Man, is in his own best efforts, can't find a solution to the problems that he makes for himself. You know, man apart from God makes a lot of problems for himself. You know, the more that people actually look into things like science without a preconceived notion and without funding towards an anti-God agenda. But if people actually look into things like science or nutrition or health or the human body or the systems of the human body or the stars and astronomy and or the laws of the universe or cells or plant life, or you just go down the list of all the different things that we live in and take for granted on a day-to-day basis, you see God's hand. You see intelligent design. You see the way that He has made things, the way that He has shaped things, the way that He has allowed for a paradigm that you and I can exist in, where even light and dark are allowed to exist at this window in what we call time for a divine purpose. You know, there's a purpose to all of this. There's a purpose for light and dark existing right now. You know, you don't get this in the next life. You don't get this in the next dimension. You don't get evil and righteous living together. No. The righteous is redeemed and the trash is taken out. You know, I'm not being harsh, I'm just being factual. For that which is not redeemed, for that which has not been washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ and the value applied to it because of what God did, not what a person does for themselves, but what God did for us, and then receiving that gift of life that comes from Him. Without that, you're irredeemed. You're non-redeemed. And the result of being unredeemed is you're thrown away. So, you know, that's just reality. That's what life is. And life is also a window where people get to make those choices. And so all the other stuff that goes on here, in the midst of those choices being made, all of that is window dressing. All of that is excess. All of that is just extra that's there. Hey, you know, that's sideshows. The main attraction to this life is the decision that you make in the core of your being to either bow your knee before the King of Kings and to accept whatever it is that He has for you, to accept His Lordship, to accept the redemption that he offers through the blood of Christ Jesus, or to reject it. And to reject it is to choose something else. To reject it is to either choose self and self-will, which ties neatly into the world and the world system, or to out and out bow straight before the world and the world system and the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, Satan, and all of that support him and are part of what he does. So, you know, that's the main attraction in this life. That's the window of time that you make that decision and choice while you're here in this world. So the rest of it all is just extra. You know, one day it's this, one day it's that. One day it's a job opportunity and relationships. The next day it's panic and world events. And the next day it's this and that and the other. And it just keeps going and going. But the main attraction, the main event for this life is the will, free will decision and choice that you make and what you do with life after you've made that decision and choice. So if you bow to the world and the world system, then you live that out. And you live out the life that the world, you know, whatever it is that the world would have for you. And you take your little place in that pyramid, in that hierarchy, on that ladder. And you do what it is that they have for you to do. You be a good little slave. You play your part. You die on cue. They harvest your soul. You're thrown away for all eternity. Or you bow your knee before the King of Kings, you're redeemed by him, light and life floods your soul, makes you something new, your new creation in him, and then you accept whatever it is that he has for you under his lordship for the rest of what your life would be in this world, and you accept all the attack and everything else that a world that's set up against him, the world system that's set up against him, rather, would throw at you with a grateful heart, knowing that the persecution that you may face, it builds perseverance and character and hope, and the hope doesn't disappoint, so God knows what he's doing with you. And he'll always take care of you. He's got far more resource in heaven to help you with in any moment of time, but he allows for the experiences that you go through, and you embrace the experiences you go through because there's divine purpose in it. So just even as Jesus, when they were going to try to take him, you know, for the crucifixion, and Peter drew the sword and said, "Hey, you know, shall we strike with the swords and cut off one of the servants of the high priest's ear?" You know, trying to, you know, muscle his way out of it. And Jesus said, "Look, if I wanted to, all I'd have to do is ask my Father, and he would send 12 legions of angels. You know, right now, this very moment, they're waiting, they're on standby. But if I did that, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that spoke of this?" Jesus didn't come to do his own will. Jesus didn't come to protect himself. Jesus came here to do the will of the Father and to pay a debt. To pay your debt and my debt. So, you know, when people reject that payment in full and they choose, they say, "No, I want to pay my own debt." Okay, it's up to you. That's your choice. That's your free will decision that you get to make. But in case you didn't know, you can never pay that debt because you'll never have enough to do it. So that's life. So it's a free will choice. You know, it's a choice that people make. But thank God for redemption. Thank God for salvation. You know, when you look at the things going on in the world right now, you'd be grateful that God has made a way out for us. That he has actually provided direction and a reason for being. You know, if you are a child of God walking around in the earth right now, this is an incredibly exciting time. And if you're a worlder, this is a very terrifying time. Because for the worlders, the reason that is terrifying is that, you know, everything that they would try to do is, you know, there's no stability. They can't predict. They can't control. Everything is, they're losing their grasp. Whereas for the child of God, our stability is built on the rock, which is Christ. We are built on Him. So because we are built on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, because we are built on the truth, which is Him, you know, hey, we're stable. The storms of life may come, they may thrash against the side of the house, but you're going to stand strong because you're built on the rock. You're built on the Word of God. You're built on the promises of God. You know the promises of God are true? You know the promises of God apply to your life this day, right now? You know, but the key of a promise is it has to be applied. You know, there's no need for God to give manna to people that are still in Egypt. You know, manna comes from heaven when you are in the wilderness. You know, manna comes, God's provision comes the way that He would design and send it when you are trusting Him and following Him and going with what He said. Period. It doesn't come when you are existing by your own wits and your own best intentions. No, it doesn't happen like that. You know, you really, truly have to die to yourself in order to live for Christ Jesus. There is no other way. Because if you live for yourself, then your life is going to be a series of decisions and choices. They're all made according to what you believe would save your life in this world and give you the best future in this world. Now, you know, there is a place where God would, of course, He knows the desires of your heart and He wants to meet those. But at the same time, His will needs to come first. His choice needs to come first. And that's why, too, what Jesus so often did with people when He was in the earth was He tested that. You know, whoever it was that He met, He tested them at the core of what was important to them to find out. Was He Lord or was He a tack-on? Did they want to just make Him a tack-on to their life? And there's a lot of people, that's what they want. They want God to be a tack-on to their life. They want all their other stuff and God too, and it doesn't work like that. You know, Jesus, think about the rich young ruler when he came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, all right, well, you know, don't kill, don't commit adultery, honor your father and mother. Went through, and the guy was like, yeah, I've done all these things since I was a kid. What more do I lack? Because he knew in himself there was something missing. And what did Jesus say? He said, he loved him. He said, hey, all right, you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Then come and follow me. And the guy went away sad. Why did he go away sad? Because part of it was, well, it says, scriptures say that he had great possessions, he had great wealth. But what Jesus had done was he had exposed in the core of who this man was, what it was that was coming between him and God. And instead of him saying, all right, Lord God, I got it. That's it. I don't want anything between you and me. I'll let it go in order to follow you. And, you know, but he didn't trust God enough to take care of the needs that he had, to give him that which was of real value. He still believed in himself. He still believed enough in the world that he was unwilling to let go. And in the end, that which he held on to the strongest, that which had lordship over his life, was in fact his Lord. And Jesus has also said, you know, you can't love God and mammon. Either you will love one and hate the other, or you'll serve one and despise the other. You can't love both God and mammon. So, or money. You can't love both. One of them is going to be your master. Now, for the follower of Christ, look, money is just a tool. It is just a resource. And it's put in your hands so that you can bless others. And it's also put in your hands so that it's a tool to enable you to do that which God asked for you. But that's all it is. It should never have a grip on your life. But in the world, money is power. Money is what they set their hearts on. Because, you know, it's also a means and a measure of harvesting people's labor and people's life force. See, when you spend time working, you're given an exchange for what you do. So if you work, you put time in, that which you put your time and your energy into, you are given a compensation for that. And you can't get back the time that you live. You know, as each second that goes away, every second that ticks off the clock is 1 second closer to the moment that you depart this life. Appointed unto every man is a time to die, and after that the judgment. So you and I pass through this life, we leave this world, and for the time that you're here, there is a window of time that you're here, and that which you do with that time is precious. So if you would spend that time doing certain things, when you work, you're compensated, or you're given in exchange for that which you spend your time doing. So the world, as a means of harvesting people's labor, it chases after money. Because money is a representation of the life that, and the life force and the life that people put into their efforts to create. And if their creation is destruction, they get rewarded by the world. And this is where also, too, the manipulations of banking systems and currencies and all of that. Because part of it, too, is that people have to also believe. They also have to buy into a system. You know, I mean, money has no value if you don't believe in it. If you don't ascribe any value to it. I mean, currency in and of itself, unless you put a value on it, unless everybody else does too, it doesn't have a value. You know, I mean, what is a diamond worth to somebody that doesn't put a value on it? Nothing. It's just a shiny rock. Now, what is water worth? Well, to a thirsty man, to a dying man, water's worth a lot. So, you know, natural resources are worth a lot because they're necessary for life and for people to exist. So, you know, you go through those stages of that which is important, that which has priority for people while they're here in this life and in this world. But the world chases after money, chases after power, chases after, pleasure. You know, again, blood, sex, you know, harvesting of energy, harvesting of life. All of these things are, you know, in the world, they set it up to draw those things in, to perpetuate those, to put all of that into building their system, building the destruction of humanity. Because the thief cometh not but for to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10. So, but Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, part of life and part of abundant life is knowing what's not life, is knowing what's not real, is knowing what's not worth your time and your energy and your effort. Did you know that there's a lot of things that people do that are not life and they're wasting their time? You know, there's a lot of people that are out there. You are wasting your time doing things that are irredeemable. God does not want you there. Does not want you doing certain things. And you keep praying and asking God to turn certain things around. Hey, He's not even in it. He wanted you to let some things go a long time ago. So, you know, there is that element out there. But people, because they keep thinking that, okay, you know, if I just do this, if I just do that, I can just make this thing work. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Look, let the dead bury the dead. All right? Let the dead bury the dead. Let that which is chosen a path of death, let it deal with the dead things. You go and be about life. You go and be about truth. You go and do that which the Father asked for you to do. You go and be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. You know, children of light are part of the solution. We are. We are. Wherever it is that we go, God gives us solutions and answers. The world can only come up with problems. God's children come up with answers and solutions. God gives them ideas. God gives them the ability to invent. You know, our God is a creative God. God creates. From the very start, He was creating. And His children bear His likeness. Do you know that the children of God are incredibly creative? We come up with things that nobody else comes up with. That's why, too, one of the things with God is that, you know, so often what He does, He doesn't focus on what you don't have. He just focuses on what it is that you have, even as little as it may be. And you turn that over to Him. And when you turn that over to Him, He does the miraculous with it. Whether it's a stick, like Moses had, whether it's a little boy's lunch, like the feeding of the 5,000, whether it's the Shunammite woman and Elijah, and just the little bit of food that she had to make a cake and die for her and her son. You know, God uses whatever it is that you have. You turn it over to Him. And when you turn it over to Him, He does the miraculous. When you turn it over to Him, He does that which He does that which you could never fathom. Because all He needs is a willing heart. Somebody that will bow their knee, trust Him, obey, walk it out. And that which you have in your hand, if you would let it go, He can do something miraculous with it. You know, a part of life, and part of choice, and part of decision, is just taking those steps. You know, I used to say this to my buddies. It's like, you know, the walk of faith, all it is just one step of faith after another. You just take that step of faith. You just do that which God asked for you to do. Then you take the next one. Then you take the next one. Each time you take a step of faith, God is there. And you keep, after a while, you're walking. Because you just keep taking one after another, after another. And you realize His hand is there. He's working. He's making things happen. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Whereas when you stop trusting Him, when you stop going forward in that which He has, when you stop going forward in that, you stay there. You stay stagnant. You know, there is a place of freedom in the walk of faith. But, you know, that comes at 100%. You know, there's a big difference between 90% and 100%. There's a big difference between being... there just is. There's just a big difference between being all in and close. Just like the rich young ruler, there's a big difference between being having kept all the commandments since he's a kid, but having that one thing that holds you, that sin that so easily besets, that one thing that keeps you from going all the way with God. There's a big difference between both. And the place of perfect peace and perfect freedom is being 100% all in. You got nothing left. It's all there. All your chips are on the table. You put it all in. You've got nothing left. God, if you don't show up, that's it. It's over, because I got nothing left. I put it all on you. Put it all on the line for you. Have your will. Have your way. You direct. You show me. Have your way, Father. You know, that's the way. That's the way that you live. That's the way that a child of God lives, a true child of God. That's the way that people should have been teaching you. You know, life with Christ is not a tack on. It is everything. And out of that life, out of that relationship, from that extends the rest. You know, life with Christ, when you have the fundamental down, when you have the cornerstone taken care of, the rest of it just flows. It really does. The rest of it flows. Once you have the foundation taken care of, the rest of it comes together. Because it comes out of that. You know, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Life flows through you, and so does everything else. Because it's an extension of the true life that's in you. So that gift makes room for you. It makes room for the adventures God has for you. It makes room for the things that God would have you to do. It makes room for the creation that God would have to create through you as His ambassadors in the earth. Solutions. You know, you are also somebody that was blessed to be a blessing. God blesses His people to make them a blessing. And you can walk to and fro in this earth and be a blessing to so many people. And now is a time like no other where people need the light, need the truth, are looking for answers, are looking for what is real. And God has put it in you. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, then you have what the world needs. So go out. Tell people about it. Give people the truth. Share that which is real. Be bold. It's okay. People need to know this. And as you share that which is true and that which is real, that word would go forth, that seed would be planted, and life will spring forth all around you. God blesses people through you because you've yielded yourself unto Him. And it's His will to accomplish His plan and purpose in and through you. So know that. Embrace that. You know, it's fun. It's fun. You know, it is a joy to walk with God. It is a joy to be in step with Him. And you know, right now the world doesn't have much joy. The world doesn't have much to look forward to. But the children of God, we have everything to look forward to. Both in the life after this one, because we know that while this life is over, once it's over, that we go on to be with Him. And while we're here, we get to be about an amazing adventure that God has for His people in this day, in this age, in this time. And that, my friends, is one thing that you can enjoy each and every day and thank God for. When you wake up in the morning, thank Him. Say, thank you, Lord God, so much for redeeming me, for saving me, for giving me a new life and hope that I have in you. And in that hope, Lord God, I trust you. Would you just lead and direct me this day? And as you do that, God will lead and direct you. Life will become a joy and a pleasure. And for this you were called. So enjoy it. Love God. And hey, bless each other in Jesus' name. And with that, God bless you guys. We love you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Or you can also write us on our Facebook page. Just look for us. Faithmix, one word, you'll find us. Hey, God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.